Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table,
a new United Methodist community of faith taking shape at Central UMC in Sacramento, California.
The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Anthony Coleman, our director of music.
Thanks for listening. Together in one voice, a prayer of confession right now. It's particular to this Sunday, and it holds within it words that we might not all ascribe to, but enough so that as God's community, we lift each other up in our own ways of falling short sometimes in our lives. So I invite you into a time of prayer, and let us pray this out loud together. God, I have complained about my body when I ought to thank you for it. I have grumbled at its pains and been dissatisfied with its shape. Bring me to a state of shocked wonder at its intricacies. Let me be in awe of its marvels. Into a body like mine, and into flesh constituted like mine, you entered our world, O God. May your presence and power transform my love of self and neighbor this day and every day. As God's people, we confess so that we might be together in that place of weakness, but also in this place of hearing God's love and forgiveness. For we, as God's people, through grace, are forgiven and loved. Let's say thanks be to God. Amen.
I am a pilgrim and a stranger, traveling through this worrisome land.
I'm the parent of a 2.5-year-old. And right after she was born, I remember walking for the first time past CrossFit. And I remember thinking, that looks a little bit crazy. Maybe some of you have seen CrossFit. It was on ESPN. That's when it started to become kind of famous around. And now the guy, what's the weight loss show, help me out, where there's a Biggest Loser. Bob has become like a CrossFit groupie. So Bob is going to make CrossFit become, if you haven't heard of CrossFit yet, you will, you have now this morning, but Bob is going to make it even more famous for folks, which maybe is a good thing or maybe not. He's been converted, absolutely. He's been converted to this. For me, I found it as a kind of those sleepless nights that some of us have known as young parents, where you're in the first couple months and you don't know whether it's nighttime or daytime. I remember kind of that blur. Maybe that kind of helped me say yes to CrossFit when I found it initially, because I was in this kind of that stupor, that place in between day and night, and I didn't quite know what was going on. But I want to show a quick video, and this is Justin, who is one of the people, he's a trainer and owner at CrossFit East Sac, and he introduced me to the sport, and he's going to share just a little bit more about it. So here's Justin.
I was started by a husband and wife down in Southern California probably 20-something years ago, and they ended up in Santa Cruz, and that's where they actually opened their first gym and start the company CrossFit as we know it today. The intensity of this program was yielding greater results, and the movements, getting away from bodybuilding movements where you're doing one muscle group, one joint at a time typically, and doing movements that look much more like what happens in real life or in sports, seemed to produce a lot better results, whether we were trying to make somebody stronger, faster, leaner, all of those type of things. All types of people in here, ranging from elite athletes to people that still need to lose another 50 or 60 pounds, from, you know, even some junior high age kids all the way up until, I know Travis has a woman that's somewhere in her 80s that he works with. So all types of people are in here, and even though the program may look very elite when you see it on TV, God, that's just for young people, Navy SEALs, Olympian level fitness. it can be modified to everybody's needs. And when we call that scaling here, and when scaling is done appropriately, it becomes accessible to all ability levels, and it also becomes very effective for all people. So things like lifting weights, where you might see the CrossFit Games winner on TV and they can clean and jerk over 300 pounds, you know, we can get your grandma in here and we might teach her to clean and jerk 50 pounds, you know, and it might take a while until we get her there. And, you know, I have some people that are in their 50s and 60s, women, let's say, that could clean and jerk over 100 pounds. So some of the people that I maybe labeled in my head that they weren't going to last a month here ended up being the person that lost 80 to 100 pounds and is still here. And, you know, maybe, you know, I can think of one person in particular that was one of those people. And at the age of 56 years old, she, after losing 100 pounds, did the first real pull-up of her whole life, you know. And I'm kind of like getting chills thinking about it right now, because it's really amazing to see somebody make that kind of progress, especially.
CrossFit gyms, they're not like any other gym that I've ever actually been to. This is a typical CrossFit gym. I remember when I walked in the first time, I looked around at ESAC CrossFit, and I looked in the windows, and I thought, they must not have started yet, because they don't have any equipment in there. And I looked around, I thought, they've got a couple boxes and some pull-up bars, but like, where are the elliptical machines? Where's like all the equipment that I'm gonna use to get strong? And I thought, must not have started. So I just kept going past it. And at one point, I finally made my way in and tried it. And CrossFit literally is like no other workout I've ever experienced. And Ross is actually a CrossFit trainer at Good Times CrossFit, which is here in Sacramento as well, over near Land Park. And Ross is going to help us this morning, because I didn't want to show you all in front of all of you. That's the honest truth. And so Ross is going to help us. Anyone can access this. It's like faith, but we all have ways that we have to grow in that. So when I first came in, jump ropes were not my thing. Maybe some of you as kids were really strong in jumping rope. Not me. I wasn't really strong in a lot of those things. But Ross is going to show us first just a single under. So it's just like this. Everybody can work up to doing just this. It just takes a little bit of rhythm. And so once you've mastered this, the next thing that you're going to learn is a double under. So now Ross is going to demonstrate a double. All right, everybody see the difference? That took me about 14 months to figure that out. So, honest, folks, we're going towards honesty. Transparency is where the Bible is going to take us in just a moment. And now Ross is going to go from those doubles to a triple. Oh, see, Ross can't do a triple. Did you actually get it? No. So a triple is really, really, really hard. And my guess is that probably in the next couple years at the CrossFit Games, some of those elite athletes are going to be doing triples like we see the double unders right now. But you see the progression there. And here's a box jump. And so if you walk in and you're in shape where you really aren't there to jump on this box, Ross is going to show us just a box jump right here. Perfect. And like anybody in this room can come up here and do that box jump. This is the next one right here. Ross is going to show us another box jump right here. Awesome. Anybody can come up and try that later. And then we have one more place where Ross is going to try a box jump for us. Now, I don't want everybody to try that one, and I don't want you to start there, but that is good. And so I'm going to have you, Ross, take the... So somebody asked me before, so is this a prehistoric dumbbell? And it might be. It's called a kettlebell. And CrossFit tries to take like things that have gone way out of vogue and says that could help us become more fit. So all you're going to do with this is like swing it. It's called the kettlebell swing, just like this, right? So somebody could try this one. This is 9 pounds, and it's right here. And then this one is the same exact thing, right? But as you work out and become stronger, you're doing a different size. So this one weighs 53 pounds. I think they have one that goes all the way up to 100 over at ESAC. And this next exercise is called the wall ball. This is one, I have many things that I dislike at CrossFit. This is one of them. Thank you.
finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak.
Blogger. His name is David Cameron, and he's a pastor in Virginia. He shared a story about his son. His son lives with severe autism, and his son comes down in the morning. And every morning, his son looks first not to the eyes of his parents, but to their shoes. And he looks to his dad's shoes, and he looks to his mom's shoes, and it tells him really everything he needs to know for the day. If they come down and they have on those dress shoes, today is a work day. And it means he knows where he's going to go and what's going to happen. And if they come down in sandals or in kind of those scuffed up loafers, he knows that today is going to be a day around the house, maybe even go someplace. But he looks to shoes to tell him exactly where he's going to go and how it's going to be. Shoes are really important in CrossFit. I remember when I first started going, I just had regular running shoes, the kind that now I look at them and they have so much padding in the back, so much stability. And I wore those and they always gave me a hard time at CrossFit. They give everyone a hard time if you wear those because they think they're actually hurting our posture and they're not helping us. And then the people would lift weights and they would use this, a weightlifting shoe is what they call this. And people would use this to get more stability to do some of the work like you see Aaron there on the screen doing. And then eventually I found myself getting rid of those older shoes with the stable like cushion at the bottom and getting the flat ones like you saw Ross wear this morning. It's just like a flat shoe. It's kind of the barefoot craze that we have going right now. And I don't think this morning, if you're a barefoot believer, I'm probably not going to convert you to go back to those, the kind of like stabilizing big boat shoes that you think are really bad. And if you're a person who really likes those stable running shoes or walking shoes, I'm not going to try to convince you this morning that you should go barefoot the next time you go run a half marathon. But I do think that we can all agree on this, and that's that shoes matter when you're going about your day. They matter to us. And Frederick Buechner has a quote, and he says this: if you want to know who you really are, as distinct from who you like to think you are, keep an eye on where your feet take you. So 2.5 years ago, my feet took me into the CrossFit gym just up the street. I've worked out, at least I thought, since junior high school. I actually loved it. But CrossFit was like high school football two-a-days on steroids. I was overwhelmed and really intimidated the first time that I walked in. And if I was going to stay there, I was going to basically have to unlearn everything that I'd learned. So here's an example. When I was in high school, I was taught that when you squat, you should never go to parallel because it'll hurt your knees. It will hurt your knees and you'll not be okay. So we would squat like that. And in CrossFit, I haven't stretched, so I don't know if this is going to work. But in CrossFit, you're going all the way to here and then back up. See that difference? So from here to There is the difference. And I thought, my body isn't meant to go that way. That doesn't work, right? So it took a ton of stretching and a lot of fear and getting over that. And everything about CrossFit was the stuff that I didn't like. When I went into the gym, there were kind of two things that I did, and there are probably some other men in the room that will relate to this. You do two things. You do bench press, and then you go do some curls. And then you're ready to go. It doesn't take that long. It goes kind of quick, and you're out of there. But the truth was, my body was never actually changing. We paid those monthly dues over and over and over. And you know what? Sending in that check did not make my body any more fit. But we kept doing it all the time in those ways. And CrossFit had things like, as you saw, kettlebells. I didn't even know what a kettlebell was. Wall balls, boxes, ropes to climb. In gym class, I wanted to skip school on the day when we climbed the rope because I didn't want to be the one person that couldn't quite figure out how to get up there. Maybe you were that person too, or maybe you knew that person, or at least feel bad for us because we were that person. My first CrossFit workout was something like this. It was get on a rowing machine and row as fast as you can, and then get off of it and jump on this box 15 times. And then when you do that, jump down on the ground like this, and then stand up and jump up again, and do that 15 times. And then do all three again 5 times. But since it was my first time, they're like, Matt, you just do 3. It'll be okay. So at the end of doing those 3 times through, I had two things that were happening. My lungs were burning, like on fire. And also, I had had breakfast that morning, and I thought breakfast might be coming right back up. And I thought, you know what? I might actually be the first person ever to both collapse from exhaustion as my lungs go down and vomit at the same exact time. I could be the one to do this. And so I wanted to run away, but thankfully I could hardly even walk. So I didn't make it very far. And in the weirdest of ways, I was totally hooked. And sooner or later, I found myself getting rid of some of those like squishy boat shoes that have stability and actually purchasing these weightlifting shoes. Because for a while, I kept putting it off. I kept thinking, if I spend $100 on those shoes, it means I'm really going to need to do CrossFit. And so I postponed it and postponed it and postponed it. And finally, I did. And then eventually, I found myself not only putting on shoes like these that are flat, but taking stuff like this. And when we're going to lift weight over our head, I found myself putting things like, I was that guy in the gym that you're like, really? I had an accessory. Yeah, who knew that CrossFit, lots of accessories in CrossFit. Putting these help. If you're ever gonna do a rope climb, just throw one of these on and you will not burn your legs. This is like the wisdom that comes in worship this morning, right there. When I first started, I couldn't really do a pull-up, so I had to use this big, enormous band like this. And then the band gets smaller because it adapts. But I found my body, I had to put things on to keep going, to keep growing in CrossFit in those ways. And that's exactly what's happening this morning in this image that we're given from Ephesians. And it's talked about in this way in the letter of Ephesians. And this is most likely written by, it's written in Paul's name, but it's most likely written after Paul has been deceased. And it's also written by a person who's in prison. That's what we kind of know historically about this text. And the author says it essentially like this. I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray for me. Pray that I can declare boldly the mystery of the gospel. Be strong in Jesus Christ and the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God and stand firm in it. Put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the word of God as the sword. Put on shoes that will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. See, the letter of Ephesians, it begins with just kind of general praise about God. That's where the letter starts. But then it gets real. It gets practical. See, the author realizes as he's writing to folks that to be strong in God, to grow in faith, the world is actually going to think you're crazy. They really are. If you follow this way of peace in the world, they're going to think you're nuts. And so you're going to need to work together. You're going to need to put on something to go out into the world so that the world doesn't beat you down. So the author in this letter, he actually takes an image they saw all the time. This might be foreign to us because we don't have soldiers walking around, but in this day, in Jesus' day, Roman soldiers are walking around all the time. And what they wore physically symbolized how they were controlling everyone. So they had on armor and they had a sword. And so this author takes this image that's everyday for folks. Maybe like fitness is, it's kind of ubiquitous. You can't turn on something and have it not tell you about how you lose weight and how you gain this and lose that and blah, blah, blah in our day. But in their day, the soldiers were all around. So he takes the image and flips it upside down and turns it inside out. Put on transparency and mercy and hope and take that out into the world. See, this author anticipates all the excuses that the people are going to make and says that the strength of God's power, though, is yours, ours to claim. And what more do you need? And they would have been accustomed to seeing that. So the call is, you see the armor on the soldiers? Put on some non-armor armor and go out into the world. So imagine what those shoes look like. Maybe they look like transparency, mercy, and peace. Last week, we were knitting faith, and today we're turning to CrossFit and church to try to help us think about this a little bit. So I want to invite you to just stay with me for a moment in this CrossFit metaphor as we try to reflect on our own faith and on how we as church might learn from CrossFit. The founder of CrossFit describes it this way, and his name is Greg Glassman. The CrossFit prescription is constantly varied, high-intensity functional movement. CrossFit is, quite simply, a sport. It's the sport of fitness. We've learned that harnessing the natural camaraderie, competition, and fun of sport or game yields an intensity that cannot be matched by other means. In the background right here, you see Aaron, who's one of the coaches at the gym where I train. He's going to clean this. That's a clean. And now he's going to jerk it over his head. Okay? So there's a workout in CrossFit that's called Grace. And what Grace involves is taking 135 pounds and cleaning it and then jerking it over your head. And then putting it down and doing it 30 times. And so I was talking with some of the folks at CrossFit, why do they call that Grace? And that's a whole nother sermon that we could go into. But one of the coaches was joking back and he said, if you do that 30 times, and you do it in 90 seconds, you don't breathe, you don't stop, for 90 seconds, you will collapse to the ground, and you will get as close as you've ever been to touching Jesus, and that might just be grace. Right there. That's intense. Most people would see that, and they would think, that is crazy. I am never going to do that. I wouldn't even want to do that. And that's fine with me. I'm not interested in converting you in that way. But when it happens, you actually fall down on the ground. It's like a typical CrossFit position is you're on the ground, on your back, breathing like this, and you're writhing in pain. And when you tell people, they think you're nuts. I was jogging this week. Dave Shear, the rapper from Agape, was here, and Linda and I got to spend time with him on Wednesday, and we went on a long run. And Dave actually asked me, so are you still in the cult of CrossFit? And it's kind of got that feel to it. So it does at different times. It has its skeptics, and the evangelism is just as intense as the workouts. So here's Justin talking a little bit about CrossFit and evangelism.
Almost all, I would say, probably 80 to 90% is some type of referral. So because CrossFit is kind of grown, you know, to a worldwide scale thing, Sally over here has a friend in Washington that's stoked on CrossFit and she's doing it and having a blast. And she says, hey, you've got to go find the local one around your place. And so we get people like that, that their friend from elsewhere told them, you got to go do this. You know, the vast majority of our members, I would say, come from referrals from our members that are already here. So they're going to their friends and like, hey, I think you would really like this. Typically, actually, the way it goes is, you know, you start telling somebody about what you did in the gym today, and probably 9 out of 10 people that you tell are going to be like, that's crazy, I'm not doing that. You go ahead, you can have that. And then 1 out of 10 of those people goes, oh, that's kind of interesting. You know, I want to try that. And that's the person that will come in here and stick with me.
What if we were to share with folks about how we root our lives in grace and worship, and then how we gather in kitchen tables to grow in faith, to watch over each other in love, to share about how it is with our soul, and to tell folks about how we're reaching in love in our lives, would 9 out of 10 folks say, that's crazy, I'm not doing that? And maybe one say, I want to come check that out with you. I don't know. I think there's a chance. That's what's called high intensity. And CrossFit is high intensity. The second piece of CrossFit is that it's constantly varied. For a long time, I was under the impression, and I think if I'd kept track of results, I would have noticed this, but I thought if I do like back one time a week, and then I do chest one time a week, and arms one time a week, I'm going to move all the way through and I'm going to become stronger. CrossFit takes that whole theory and tosses it out the window and like shatters it. And it says, just do everything in a constantly varied way with really high intensity. And don't ever settle into a groove. See, our bodies quickly adjust and then they plateau if they know what to expect all the time. And so I wonder if our lives, if our spiritual lives, if that can happen as well. If we get ourselves in a groove and then that groove quickly becomes, or maybe over time, becomes a rut. And so how do we constantly vary our prayer lives? What does that look like? And then CrossFit is functional. You saw the wall ball that I said I dislike. I still dislike it. It hasn't changed in the last 7 minutes. Ross demonstrated this. So I'll hear it one more time. Here's the wall ball. You're down, you're up, and you throw, and you catch. And so people wonder how that's functional. And I was just out last week with our daughter. Like, it's the same motion, right? There you are. And if you have a 2-year-old, at some moment, they're going to want you to do this. So as you live in community and the 2-year-olds are running around, they're going to want to be tossed just like that. CrossFit is functional in those ways. And so it leaves me wondering, how are our prayer lives? How is worship? How is the kitchen table where we watch over each other in love? How is that shaping the ways that we live out in the actual world? How's that working for you? How's it getting you ready for your daily life? CrossFit is hard. Church and growing in faith is hard too, I think. But it's obvious that CrossFit is hard in certain ways. I wake up, I know if we do lunges and I go all the way down like this and come back up, it doesn't hurt when I'm doing it. But I know that the next day my hamstrings are going to burn. And when the alarm goes off, my instinct is going to be snooze, snooze. And what happened to me before CrossFit was I could say, well, I'll take today off. And then maybe you're not like me, but for me what happens is the next day I say, oh, just one more day. And then 2 days becomes a week, and then I look back and I think, I haven't been to the gym, I haven't been in a month. How did that actually happen? That's what happens. And so working out in a community, maybe like growing in faith in a community, is different. So here's a video about CrossFit and community.
But one of the biggest reasons I think people do this is the community aspect. So, you know, there's a competitiveness to it, and you have friends here and you want to compete with them and you want to beat them, and you see them making progress and you get excited about making progress, and everybody is supporting everybody, and you almost feel like if you don't show up, like you're not just letting down yourself, but you're letting down everybody else who's sort of in that process with you. So the community aspect of CrossFit is a huge reason why it's so effective, because it draws people into the gym and they keep coming back consistently.
It's why we believe in kitchen tables here. It's why we believe that we need to gather together in small groups to watch over one another in love. There's a woman, this is her, Julie Fouché, and she's an elite, obviously, CrossFit athlete, and she was on ESPN, and after she worked out, and people talk about, wow, that week-long workout, you are phenomenal, and they're kind of just amazed. I am amazed at how fit this woman is. She says, what you don't see during the single week in July are all the moments during the other 51 weeks of the year that make that performance possible. See, I could want to be an elite athlete like her. I could want to have quads like that, but the reality is I'm not going to go from here to there. The reality is I'm probably never going to go from here to there, but if I'm going to, I'm going to need to take steps along the way. I'm going to need to identify, how do I get from here to there? It's like we don't go from here, me, to Mother Teresa overnight just because I'm ready to try it out. We live into it over time as we develop goals, and then we meet those. In CrossFit, they call them SMART goals. And I don't ask people to write stuff down, but this one's really been important to me. So if it's meaningful for you, I'd invite you to actually write it down and think about it a little bit. How are you going to do something? Like, what is going to be your goal, and how is it specific? And how are you going to measure it? How are you going to attain it? Why does it matter? How is it relevant? And it needs to be time-bound. Like, it needs to have a, by this time, I'm going to try it out. And it just makes me wonder, like, how does our faith life work in relationship to some of those goals? What are our goals for growing in faith and rooting our lives in grace? Here's a piece on CrossFit and goals.
And one of the first things that happens in here is we're like, hey, you got to get a workout journal, and you got to start writing down what you do every day. And I want a number. I want a time. I want how many you did. I want how much, you know, how many pounds you lifted. There's going to be some data that's measurable every single day that you come in here.
One of my very first goals in CrossFit was to be able to do a pull-up without using these bands because I was embarrassed. So it was a relevant goal because I wanted to not be embarrassed the next time I was in the gym. And I started to write things down. And what I look back on is now I see how many times my goals have shifted and changed. And sometimes I've met them and sometimes I haven't. But how are you tracking? How are we tracking how we're rooting our lives in grace? How are you tracking your growing in faith? And how are you tracking how you're reaching in love? I think if we don't write it down and come back to it, we may never notice the progress that we're making. We may never notice the ruts that we're in. And so one of the keys to working to any workout is commitment. Commitment and consistency. And so let's listen to Justin talk about the membership and attendance at his box, which is just up the street.
Really staggering is if you were to look at the number of members we have and how often they show up. We have about 200 members, and if I were to look over that list, I would probably only find about 10 or so of 200 members that are not here every single week.
So what are our goals in terms of growing in faith in the kitchen table, in terms of worship? Like, what are our own goals, and how are we going to try to live those out? Remember, like going from me to Mother Teresa, it's not going to happen unless I start to set some of those realistic goals and start to move forward with them in community. And so the time piece of it matters. And I just have a couple more clips. I want to show this one too.
You know, so things that are enormous goals, like if somebody comes in and says, I want to lose 100 pounds, we don't go, okay, well, when are you going to lose 100 pounds by? Because, okay, well, if we say I'm going to lose 100 pounds a year from now, then it feels like today there's not any real reason to work on that because the goal is a year from now. And tomorrow is the same, and the next day is the same, and somebody can get 3 or 4 months into this process and they've lost maybe 3 or 4 pounds. They're not really on track. So we would take a big goal and try to break it down into smaller goals. Okay, well, you know, if we're going to lose 100 pounds in a year, then let's start with trying to lose, you know, 10 pounds by the end of this month type thing.
So what's one way that you want to grow in faith this coming week? What's one way that you want to reach in love this coming week? And who could you share that with so that you could kind of be accountable and see, how's it working for you? How's it going? Remembering that it's a long, long journey that we're in. So I want to watch one more clip here, Ryan.
Or losing weight, their physical capacities are going through the roof. When you hear 40 and 50 year old women that can do 10, 20, maybe even 30 pull-ups in a row, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, you know, and they didn't come in here like that. They came in here like everybody else and then got to that level.
The folks who received the letter to the Ephesians that Linda read earlier, see, they were being reminded of the goal that they had. Their goal was to love God. And to do it, this writer believed that they needed to put on the whole armor of God, to put on those shoes that were going to help them proclaim the gospel of peace. And so it leaves us wondering, like, what is our goal today? And Ryan, I want to show one last clip, and then we're going to close.
I'm with a member the other day who they seem to be losing their motivation. And I'm like, well, what's your goal? You know, if you don't have a goal in mind, then it's not going to be worth your time and effort to show up and work out until you feel like you're sick and laying on the floor wishing you were going to die. you have to have some kind of...
We have to have some kind of goal, both in fitness, in our bodies, and in our desires to love God and to love neighbor. So where are we going to start with that? 2.5 years ago, I walked into a CrossFit gym, and my first goal was actually just to go back again, because I was kind of afraid to be there the first time. And then my next goal was around trying to do a pull-up without all these bands. And over time, I've had very different goals, and sometimes I meet those, and sometimes I fall short of them, but it's kept me coming back. And overall, I know that CrossFit pushes my body to limits, and it helps me to be more fit than I would be otherwise without it. About 6 years ago, I started gathering in a group that's very much like our kitchen tables. It meets every Thursday morning. We meet from 9 until 11 at a place called Bread of Life. And we do what so many in this room do every week. We gather to watch over each other in love. We share how it is with our soul, and then we study scripture, and we pray, and we go on our way. We do life together, as so many of you all do in this place. Last Sunday, I shared in worship the energy and the excitement. My brother and his partner had their first baby, Zachary James Smith, healthy and beautiful and full of life. And then on Wednesday, my maternal grandmother passed away. So I went from here to here in the middle of that week. And so two things helped me to keep one foot in front of another this week. It's been a rough week for me. My kitchen table met on Thursday morning, and they watched over me in love as I tried to share about how it was with my soul. The words didn't come, but the tears flowed as I was in that space. And I just wept. And that weeping, I think, it's grief is what it is. And for a lot of us, we're taught that it's not okay to have that emotion or to put that away. I think we desperately need it. And when I didn't know how to access it myself, it was that kitchen table that provided me with a safe place to do just that. See, these folks weren't afraid to be transparent, as the author to Ephesians says. They weren't afraid to let me be transparent and to bear my own soul in ways that I didn't really have control of. Their gentle presence embodied the mercy and the grace that I needed to experience in that time of loss, but I don't think I could have gone there if I hadn't been going back to that group every Thursday for all those years. And lots of times my sharing wasn't deep. It just was. But it took me, that consistency took me to a new place. See, trust takes time. Putting on non-armor armor takes time and community and mutuality. Those tears of grief are reminders of baptism and an experience of God's grace when words and rationality just fail. And I left that kitchen table at 11, and I went over to CrossFit at noon, and I put on different clothes, different shoes, different gear. And I didn't really talk to anybody. We stretched, and it wasn't quiet. Unlike the kitchen table, music was blaring. But I didn't say anything to anybody. Warmed up. The sun was beating down, and our workout, the workout of the day, was to run 400 meters and then flip a tire the size it felt like the size of this sanctuary. And then after you flip the tire, jump down and stand back up and jump in the air. Do that 15 times and do it again 4 times in a row. And my lungs burned, and I was covered in sweat from head to toe. And I was sweating grief. Reminders that water of baptism, and another experience of grace when words and rationality fail. So what shoes are you going to put on this day? What goals are you setting for yourself? And what are you putting in place now that might help you get through to the other side when the unexpected rocks your foundation? And those waters come up out of you that you can't control. Where are your feet taking you, and who's going to hold your hand as you go there? May we be strong in the gospel of peace May our faith and strength in God's unfolding and unconditional love shape our bodies and our souls for the journey that lies ahead. In this day and in every day, may those be our shoes and may those be our steps. Amen. Mm-hmm.